Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's time to answer your awesome listener questions, including a question about our favorite quick service dining location. But first, a message from our sponsor, and that's our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And right now, as I glance down at my iPhone 7 Plus, I can see that we're down to a mere 118 days to go until the Be Our Guest podcast cruise 4.0. I get excited every time I get a text, a phone call, or post to social media because I see the notification badge right there on my home screen, 118 days to go right now. And when I click into the app, I can see my customized pictures. I have pictures from the last podcast cruise. I get to pick the background color, the text. I can even put, you know, the theme whenever we decide what the theme of the podcast cruise will be right there on the front of the app. So count down to your next Disney trip just like I do. It gets you excited many times a day. Some of the best time you can spend on your phone is dreaming about that next Disney vacation, and you can do that right now with Days to Go WDW over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1142 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. Thanks for coming by, streaming the show, downloading, and just checking in to hear what the Disney community has to say, what questions, comments are on the minds of our listeners. We love these shows because we really, truly never know what we're going to be talking about. So thanks for dropping in, and thanks for being a part of the show. You want to be a part of the show? Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Get your comment or question in right away. So before I go any further, because I know I'll forget, because I'll be editing and I'll say, oh, I meant to say happy birthday to my beautiful wife. Her birthday was yesterday, so I'm not going to say an age because I do want to live and don't want to get in trouble because that would...
Smart man. Yeah, yes,
you know, so,
yes.
You know, this lives forever on the internet, so happy birthday, Pamela, and thank you for letting me do the podcast. All right, joining me tonight to answer your listener questions, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's up, Ricky?
Well, happy birthday, Pam, and thanks for letting Mike do the podcast.
Yeah, she's very kind. She puts up with a lot, I can tell you.
Exactly. Without her putting up with a lot, we wouldn't be here. So thanks, Pam.
That's funny. All right. Also joining us, speaking of Pams, we have Pam Forrester. She's the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday, Pam.
Happy Wednesday. Happy birthday from one Pam to another. Our joke is that Pams with beers are a little more fun. So I hope that you did enjoy some time with beers and have a happy birthday. Yeah. And happy Monday or Wednesday or whatever day
you're listening to this. That's
the beauty of a podcast. You could be listening to this on a Sunday afternoon. Who knows?
I was thinking about if I lived in another part of the world, yes, it might still be Monday or Wednesday. But happy whatever day.
All right. Well, this is getting confusing because our first question of the day comes from Paige, and it's not my Paige. It's Paige Palmer. She says, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, first of all, I love your podcast. It makes my drive to work much more magical. My husband and I are heading to Walt Disney World this summer during the hottest possible time, which is all we can do as we are both teachers. And it's the only week my husband, who coaches football, does not have any camp, practice, etc. We'll arrive on July 22nd. We'll be staying 6 nights at Port Orleans French Quarter. We have 7-day Magic Your Way tickets. I'm wanting to upgrade just my own Magic Your Way ticket to an annual pass as we are planning a larger family vacation next year. If I do this upon check-in, will the AP discounts on restaurants and merchandise be available to us during this stay? Also, about how much of a difference am I looking at having to pay? I just want to have this info in mind when planning and budgeting. All right, she has one more brief question after that one, but Pam, talk to her about when she takes that 7-day Magic Your Way ticket. Ricky, can you pop that up? I don't have any windows here, but see what the Magic Your Way ticket and the annual pass right now difference is. Can you, while Pam's explaining the discounts? All right, great, thanks. All right, go Pam.
So once you upgrade your pass from the 7-day ticket to the annual pass, the discounts are available to you right then. It's like magic. Bam. That quickly. So, and that's great because you'll have access to annual pass holder discounts for dining, for merchandise, and other benefits like that. So yeah, it's instantaneous.
So what's your tip, Pam, as far as making sure you don't miss out on those discounts? Because I'm bad about that. You know, I'm getting better at it lately because the discount has been upped. You know, it's a good discount on merchandise. I believe 20% this year. But I was one who would just forget that I had it, you know, or I was entitled to a discount. So what best advice can you give a first-time annual pass holder to make sure they're getting the most out of that pass?
So one of the things that I do, and it's something I still do to this very day, is I try to ask almost every place we go. There's no harm in asking. They used to give you like a little book.
Yeah.
Do you remember that when you used to have
small.
Your pass?
Yeah. The writing was like 2-point font. It was ridiculous.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even that was challenging to use. So what I typically do is I ask. So if I'm at a restaurant, I ask, do you have an annual pass discount? We also have all of the dining discounts available on the Mouse for Less site, too. I know that there's a good spot there to see them, too. Maybe you want to print that out, well, like fold it, take it with you, or save it as a PDF or whatever. I'm trying to think of something a little more electronically friendly than printing it out. But sometimes printing it out and taking it with you is not a bad method to take. But if you ask, the cast members will be able to tell you whether or not there's a discount there. Make sure you check at any table service restaurant that you go to and see what they say.
And listener Brian in the Facebook Live chat is saying that he got the book for the discounts last week. So he had his eyes examined, I guess.
Wow.
So he at least saw
maybe
it.
Maybe he has a magnifying glass with him, like one of those big ones.
You should. That should be complimentary for what you're paying for the annual pass. Anyway, so Ricky, what's the difference? What we got here?
Okay, so was it a park hopper or did she say?
She didn't say if it was a park hopper. It looks like it's a base, but either way.
Okay, so if it's I'm going to assume that she's just going for the Platinum Pass, which is the basic four theme parks, not the one with the, you know, water parks and everything like that. So that would be $7.79 for that. Then if it was a 7-day ticket, is that correct?
That's right. I mean, just get us in the ballpark here. We don't have to get down to 2 cents or something, but let's go.
All right. So it was, it's $4.85 for a park hopper, which the difference is $2.94. So, with the park hopper, it's $2.94. Without the park hopper, it's $4.10. So that would be a difference of $3.69. I was told there would be no math.
That's an awful lot of math.
I was told there was no math. So.
And keep in mind that the totals that I'm telling you do not include tax. So you'll have to add tax on top of that. I'm sorry.
Oh, we're not doing that. That's for sure.
I'm not doing that kind of tax, that kind of math.
Math. Are we buying this in Orange County? Are we buying this in Osceola County? I mean, because it changes.
You get basic math from Ricky. That's all you get. And your
third Friday of the month, is there a tax-free time or something? Oof. Yeah.
No,
and that's the thing I think that's interesting to note is it used to be like if you were spending, they used to say, now this was years ago, if you were spending 8 days or more of the annual pass, you were better off getting it. Now that gap has actually widened. You really have to be going more than 10 days for that annual pass to be something that makes sense for you. So just think about that. I mean, will you use it? Will you not? And I feel like the gap in terms of resort discounts, if not the discount itself getting smaller, the number of rooms available could be getting smaller. So all good things to consider when you're thinking about whether you want to upgrade or not.
And finally, I'm also a fan of what Paige is doing with taking her Magic Your Way ticket part of a package and upgrading it to the annual pass, because what that does, she's paying a difference of about $300 or $400 to get that annual pass down at Walt Disney World instead of the hard hit of like close to $800 at once. You know, you're kind of, it's like for those people that aren't Florida residents, it gives you a chance to at least break it into two payments, you know, and not get hit so hard there. So I do that every year. All right.
Absolutely true. It's the best way to
helps.
Upgrade.
It does help. I mean, take some of the pain out. She says, lastly, any quick service dining locations that are must do's for you guys? We've been to several, but haven't really found any that we find impressive. Thanks for all the great information. She says, P.S. I'm a fellow Missourian as well. We're down here in the boot heel, New Madrid, Missouri. Ricky, do you know what New Madrid's famous for?
The fault.
That's right. The fault. The big earthquake. And I believe it was like the early 1900s that made the Mississippi River run backwards and it created Kentucky Lake. So.
I didn't know that's how Kentucky Lake got created.
That's it,
So.
Mississippi ran backwards for 4 days after that earthquake. Yeah, just a little Missouri history here for you on a Wednesday. I know you didn't want that. Everybody, you know, Masao was like, who cares about Missouri history? Get on to the listener questions. I'm right with you, Masao. So, Pam, maybe something that we don't always give, because like Columbia Harbor House, solid choice always for quick service, but maybe something we overlook that you could offer Paige here.
So I'm going to offer, Wolfgang Puck Express over at Disney Springs. There are so many great choices in Disney Springs, but let me tell you a little bit about the Wolfgang Puck Express. First of all, it has great breakfast. They have a breakfast pizza. Awesome. They have cornflake coated French toast. And the French toast is not like made from your normal piece of bread. It's made from a bagel. So it's even better. They also have great lunches and dinner, including pizza's good. They have great salads. But for dinner, they have stuff like a bacon-wrapped meatloaf and, you know, other stuff like that. They have a rotisserie chicken that's good. They have some great dessert choices. So love that one. And I think that a lot of times you can't go wrong with some of the quick service locations that are actually located at the resorts. You know, Captain Cook's is something that gets a lot of love out there because it has some great choices. But I think the resort quick service locations just do a better job in, you know, in general. So what about you guys? What do you like?
Yeah, Ricky, go ahead. What do you have?
So I think Blaze has some of the best quick service pizza at Disney, period. But if I'm going to go in the parks... you know, I was thinking about the Boulangerie Patisserie, in the France Pavilion. I know that most people think, oh, it's just, you know, pastries and stuff like that, but they really have some unique options back there. You can get some different kinds of sandwiches. They have soup back there as well. I've had a pumpkin soup back there, and I think they have a lobster bisque type soup as well.
They do. Yeah, that's yum.
Yes. Wow. So I would absolutely, because most people don't think of it as a quick service location, I would suggest there.
All right. Let's see. Jill in the Facebook Live chat's offering up Earl of Sandwich. Always great sandwiches and one of the best values on property. Let's see here. I'm trying to think for me. I'm going to go a couple in Animal Kingdom, actually, kind of go off the you know, beaten path here and go with Flame Tree Barbecue. Never. That's always a solid. Always a solid meal there. Mm-hmm. The smell draws you in. And also Harambe Market. I like that too.
Yes. So. Absolutely. Yes. That has some really unique things too. And the great news is now all of the windows serve the same stuff. Before you kind of had to, you know, send one family member to this window and this family member to another one. So here's our little tip, right? Look at all the windows and see which one has the shortest line.
It was the Cosmic Ray Starlight Cafe method.
It basically was. And they were vastly different offerings. It was like, I swear some of the windows had like appetizers while they had like full on meals. And it was like, oh, sad. You went to the appetizer window.
You lose. So, you lose.
Yeah. Too bad for you.
All right. Next question comes from Caitlin Moffitt. Hello. I have a question. I plan on taking a trip to Disney for the 2018 Princess Half Marathon. What would be the best way to book and get the best price? I'm going in April for the Dark Side race and had booked that stay with a bounce back offer I got when I was there in November. Do they send you bounce back offers every trip you go on? Should I count on using that, or is it too late to book? I know it is one of the busiest race weekends and I don't want to book too late. Thanks, Caitlin. All right, Pam. And, you know, we're getting questions, too, about the, you know, marathon weekend 2018. Lots of lizards going down for that. We got lots of lizards at every Run Disney event. So, Pam, what's the best way when we're looking at 2018 race weekends? What can we do to make sure that we're getting the best deal?
So for January, typically the Magic for Less has group rates, and those will be the best rates that you can get. And we do that for the January races because Disney typically blacks out that weekend from any specials that are released. So that's just our way of ensuring that. Now, the Princess races, they have not been blacking out from the specials that are typically released around that time. They may limit those specials, but they don't black them out. And we found that, you know, one of the things that at least our guests want is access to those discounts as soon as they become available. So that's why we typically have them for January and not so much for the Princess race. If you happen to be at a Disney resort and you have an opportunity to book a bounce back rate, then I absolutely suggest that. We book them for our guests all the time. And it's really, you know, that's really one of the great ways to secure a discount at any time is use one of those rates, because it's just they're always a little bit better than the rates that are available to the general public as a general rule, I will say, with that. So bounce back offers are great. Another thing is just to be aware of the discounts that are available at that time. The funny thing about Disney discounts, especially the last couple years, is that you have to be a little more flexible with your resort choices and sometimes with your dates. It's just that kind of thing. Disney kind of revamped the way that they offered and booked packages in that it used to be it was easier to add days or alter days or whatever. And now when you're looking at it, you really need the total stay, the total length of your stay to be available with a discount in order to book a discount. And it makes it just a little bit more challenging. We've seen some, you know, things like that happen over the past couple of years. So it's a lot of, you know, discount information that you don't really want to know. But I'm just going to tell you that if you have access to a bounce back, that's typically going to be your best discount.
Absolutely.
And you'll see the best availability too.
And you know, you lose that opportunity after you check out, you know, that night of your checkout.
Yes.
So you have to be on it. You know, you can't say, oh man, I wish I would have. It's kind of like the onboard bookings with Disney Cruise Line too. You know,
absolutely. The second you're done.
So one more thing with that, Pam, Caitlin didn't ask this, but I know a lot of our listeners are probably curious about this because I know, you know, this time of year, people are getting really antsy to not only book their 2017 Disney vacation, but also looking forward, like Caitlin's saying, to 2018. So when does Disney typically release the next year? I know we don't have a date or anything like that, but what can people kind of have in the back of their head as to when we can start booking into 2018?
So typically in the summer, they will release the packages for the following year. And that's just typically what happens. There have been times when they've come out a little earlier, and there have been times when they've come out a lot later. So it's not guaranteed, but that's when we start looking at. And one of the things that I also wanted to mention in terms of that is we offer a special as soon as the next year's packages are released. That's actually a promotion that we don't offer at any other time of year. And the reason why we only offer it there is, first of all, we never want to be one of those companies that's like values new clients more than old clients, right? Like our cable company is a great example. Mm-hmm. They'll offer like some great deal if you upgrade to this, if you're a new customer, but nothing if you're an existing customer.
Right.
And we never want that to happen. So we always just felt like if we offered the best promotion we can as soon as the rates are released, then we're offering everyone who wants to book for, let's say, 2018, the same offer, and everyone has access to that. So anyways, during like the first couple weeks that a new year of packages is available to book, we'll offer an increased like Disney gift card or something else. I don't know what it'll be next year because we haven't gotten that far into it. So think about that. But another reason to book early is that you have access to the resort that you want, the type of room that you want, and all of those things. All of those reasons for booking early really hold true because it's just, you know, we've seen availability in certain room types go so quickly that we're not partway through the year. And on certain dates, it's like, okay, we can't find this, you know, available for you for your travel dates. So if you have a room type that's in high demand, and we're talking Little Mermaid rooms, we're talking a lot of room categories at Wilderness Lodge, you know, some of the higher end room views, like a view of the castle, if that's in your, you know, that's one of your dreams, like you want to do that, book those early. But those are just some of the things to think about. And the great news is that you'll always have access to the discounts as they're released. We can't guarantee the availability, but if a discount is released after you book and it is available for your room type, for your room resort, and for your travel dates, and Disney limits that, not us, then we'll go ahead and change your room rate over to that new discount. So you aren't losing anything by booking early either.
All right. Sounds great. Hey, big shout out to everybody listening over in Europe, man. Our Facebook Live is full of our friends over across the pond. So I don't know. Everybody's staying up late tonight with us. So we like that. All right, next question is actually, it's just a comment from John Pappas. He says, follow-up to question on episode 1139, so last Wednesday. He said, Disney did help us transfer luggage from the Swan and Dolphin to my DVC resort. Thanks for the great podcast. James is in New York. So I know we were talking about, you know, doing the park, the resort hopping last week. So he gave us good stuff. All right. Scott's got the next question. It says, Mike, I've only been listening for the past month or so, but so I apologize if this question has been addressed in the past. We're planning a trip from October 28th to November 4th of 2017, and we're staying at Pop Century. I just realized that the Wine and Dine event will overlap with our Thursday and Friday days in the park, but only the Fall Feast 5K seems to overlap. Oh, and his title was Avoiding a Run Disney Event. Having never been to Disney during a race event, do you have any advice on how to avoid the congestion? We typically spend our last day of each Disney trip in the Magic Kingdom, but depending on your answer, may consider another park. Thanks for the great podcast, Scott. All right, so Ricky, what they're staying there, October 28th to November 4th, and Thursday and Friday are their last days, I guess, and I guess the 5K would be on that Friday. He doesn't have too much to worry about because that 5K is going to be knocked out by 9 o'clock in the morning, but what advice say you?
Not only that, but the 5K takes place at Animal Kingdom. So it sounds like he wants to go to Magic Kingdom. So they're good. They don't really have to worry about much, which is, you know, nice. And unless they're at an Animal Kingdom area resort, then, you know, but I don't even think that that would make a difference because they're not blocking off any of the roads there either. Because the 5K mostly takes place around the parking lot and inside the park. So I think they're good to go.
Yeah, they're totally
They're
going to
have a
good time. Yeah, so you don't have to change anything. I mean, they make it so you can get into the Animal Kingdom itself fine, even with the 5K going on. So no sweat there, so have a good time. All right, Nathan's got the next question. He says, I discovered your podcast about a year ago, and I got to say, you guys do a fantastic job. Special shout out to my fellow Yinzer, Pam. Look at that, you got a fellow Yinzer. I like it. Nice.
I like it.
My question is this. We have an 8:35 a.m. ADR for Be Our Guest during our upcoming trip. Our thought was to beat the crowds to Seven Dwarves Mine Train. I have read that it starts running about 8:40 most days. With the new opening procedure, it looks like the Be Our Guest breakfast crowd could get on twice before everyone else. So we want to be at Seven Dwarves Mine Train at 8:40. Two questions. One, will they seat us early for our Be Our Guest breakfast if we get there at 8? All right, start there. Ricky, what do you think? So they have a 8:35 ADR. Are they going to get seated at 8 if they get there early?
I mean, they can always try. I don't know that it'll depend on how busy the restaurant is in the morning. But I don't see why if they arrive early, they wouldn't get seated relatively earlier than they, you know. But again, you know, it kind of depends on how behind the restaurant may be that early in the morning.
All right, this next one I really don't know the answer to. It's number two. If we just skip the breakfast but don't cancel the ADR, do we get charged just $10 per person or do they charge us a sit-down meal to our meal plan? Thanks for your help, Nate. So, Pam, what do you think? Are they going to get – I mean, you're going to get dinged if you don't show up. Is it a $10 person cancellation fee? Or is
it is. The $10 per person cancellation fee is what you'll see with that. They won't take away a whole meal, but they will charge you $10, you know, per person per day. And I really – honestly, I've heard a lot of reports that say making the dining arrangements at Be Our Guest does not get you – much of a leg up, if any, to get into the Seven Dwarfs. So you may want to see how it happens when, you know, as those dates get closer, read some firsthand reports. But I don't know that there's much of you get much of a leg up on that, honestly. So again, just read the reports when you get closer too.
That's a good tip because I'll be, you know, firsthand advice and, you know, what really works. So good luck with that, though. Yeah. We'll see. All right. Colin has our next question. Hey, Mike, my wife and I got married in April of 2016 and we honeymooned in Disney. It was great. We didn't do a whole lot of planning and kind of took it day by day. In listening to the podcast since then, I feel like we missed some pretty cool stuff when we were there. We decided to return to Disney for our one-year wedding anniversary, and we have about 5 weeks to plan it. We already have a room booked at Coronado Springs, thanks to a relative cast member, but I was wondering if you could give me a few ideas for dining, maybe a romantic dinner and one awesome experience, and any other little ideas you may have to make this trip a little more special. Thanks for any input. You guys are awesome. Colin. All right, remember, they only have about, this was 4 days ago, so they only have about 4 weeks lead time at this point, so that may exclude some kind of dining options or other experiences. So, Ricky, what would you do? They're going back for their one-year anniversary, a nice dinner and maybe a fun experience.
I think that I would do, and I am blanking so hard on the new name of it. I know it's got Sip and Sparkle and something, something, something.
Yeah, the fireworks at the Contemporary.
The Epcot thing, yeah.
No, the one about the at the California Grill. Yeah, the new the one that they just came out
with. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know it's got the word Sip and Sparkle and I don't know, but, it's the brand new thing that just, I'm trying to search the Walt Disney World website to see with the word sparkle to see if anything pops up. I'm sure it will. yes, here we go. Celebration at the top. Savor, sip, and sparkle. See, I knew there was something with that name on it. So basically what it is guests will get to enjoy small plates as well as some drinks. And that's courtesy of the California Grill menu. And that includes canapes. Nope, that's not how you say that. I feel like Mike and gondolas.
Gondolas, baby.
I'm cracking up. I love it. Andrew, we have some work for you. That's Andy, be our guest dictionary.
I feel like Dory when she says escape.
That's it. Yeah.
Exactly. Escape with some
canapes. I knew that wasn't right when I said it, and I'm like, nope, not right. Okay. Sushi and small plates. And there's also a complimentary bar that has California wines, beers, and cordials. And then you get to go outside and view wishes from the top in a semi-private viewing area. I say semi-private because you'll be surrounded by the people who are also taking part in this event. And then you'll come back inside for a sweet dessert of petit fours and cordials and coffee. So.
Yeah, and you know what? That's not a bad value. It's like $99 a person, I believe,
yeah,
right now. So
$99 a person, and it's held on select Sundays. So it's only on Sundays. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Nice. All right. That's a great call. So, Pam, something else you can offer up our listener here to celebrate the first year anniversary?
So in addition to the ones I always mention, I'm going to mention, go back to one that I haven't mentioned in a while, and that's Morimoto's Asia. I just think that there's some great food there, and it's a cool atmosphere too, and it's over at Disney Springs, so you can go there after the parks close if you would like. It's not located in the park, so that's a great thing. And I'm also going to mention Jiko, which is, you know, one of the ones that I do often recommend, but I will tell you, we just have consistently great food there. And while the food is a little different, they also have, you know, it's just good. So who doesn't like good food, right? Even if it's not, even if it has a weird name or weird spices or isn't something you've ever had before, if it's good, it's good. And it's just good over at Jiko. So those are two great ones to try out.
And they honeymooned at Walt Disney World. So I would say they're big Disney fans. I would say Keys to the Kingdom tour. It's cheap. It doesn't hurt the pocketbook too much. And it's a lot of fun for a Disney fan. So that's what I would throw in there. All right, Stephanie's got the next question. Hey, BOGP crew. I just want to start by saying I listened to all of your podcasts faithfully for 2 years now and have been even started listening to all the old podcasts from the beginning of the show. You guys keep
I'm sorry.
I know. You guys keep me company when I get ready in the mornings, mow the yard, or go on walks. I'm planning a trip for the second full week of December for my family. It's going to be 4 adults and 3 kids. They're 5, 6, and 10. It's our third trip, but my in-laws' first trip with their 5-year-old son. In the past, we have stayed at All-Star Movies and at Art of Animation Family Suites. We loved both resorts, but we're looking to try someplace new. I was wanting to book Coronado Springs under the free dining promotion if it is offered. Now that the construction news has come out, I'm considering booking Pop Century. Which resort should I choose for my family? A comfortable bed is my biggest priority, and a cool pool would be the kids' main priority. All right, let's stop there. She has one brief question after that. Here's what I would say to that for Stephanie. go with Coronado Springs. I don't think that that construction is going to bother you right now. I think it's going to be fine. You have an amazing pool in the dig site. The kids will absolutely love that. Not that there's anything wrong with Pop Century pools, but the dig site is awesome with the slide. It's got a nice bar area. It's got the hot tub for the adults. It's got lots of seating around it. You know, the DJ comes out to both and plays pool games and stuff, but the pool's definitely better at Coronado. And you mentioned you want a comfortable bed. Coronado takes that hands down. So I would totally do that. Pam, do you agree on that one?
I do. And the other huge benefit for Coronado versus Value is if typically in the past, when and if free dining has been released, it has been that you get the regular Disney dining plan with moderates and above, while you only get the quick service with values. And I think that that's a huge difference in terms of savings, that it just offers your family so much more in terms of that. So that's why I always say, if you can, when free dining becomes available, try to go with a moderate or a deluxe resort just to get that additional savings.
Absolutely. She says, my next question is for the young 5-year-old Star Wars fan in our group. What kinds of plans should I add into our trip for his first visit? I have 2 girls and usually plan for princesses. I have no idea what a 5-year-old boy would enjoy. Any help is greatly appreciated. Thanks for the great show. Stephanie's listening down in Oklahoma. So stay safe down there. It's tornado season. So let's talk about, she's good at doing the princess thing, but she's got a 5-year-old boy, Star Wars fan, obviously Trials of the Temple, get to Disney's Hollywood Studios 30 minutes before park opening, run back there to, it's the place that's right next to Frozen. It's what used to be the old, Drew Carey Show building. Mm-hmm. Right around in there is where you sign up to participate. So you'll do that. You want to get in one of the first shows so you don't have to come back like 6 hours later. That's kind of a drag. Unless you're going to be there all day, it's not that big of a deal. But it sells out quickly, so I would say do that. Ricky, I mean, I guess spend a lot of time in Launch Bay. What else could you think of?
I was going to say make sure you catch the Stormtrooper March. I think it's a great little diversion in a way, but it's also really fun too. So I think he'll enjoy that.
And I would also think that you'd want to close out the day with the Star Wars fireworks. Make sure you're there as the park closes. That'd be something special for because I think with a 5-year-old kid, especially when, I mean, I'm a 43-year-old kid, and when that Star Destroyer comes over, you know, at the beginning, it's like, oh, that is like the Star Destroyer is going over my head. I could imagine for a kid who's a Star Wars fan.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
All right. The next question comes from Joe. He says, hi, BOGP squad. Thank you so much for everything you do. I'm a longtime listener since the beginning. Wow, look at that. Joe,
wow.
He doesn't have to catch up. He's there. Many podcasts have come and gone. Many have been around a while. Many that have been around a while sound like they're just going through the motions. But the BOGP team has been able to keep the same energy and passion throughout. That's why I love your show. Thanks so much. Well, thank you, Joe. We appreciate that. We love doing
that's
it.
Awesome.
We love doing it.
We like hearing that. Now I feel even more energetic than ever.
Boom. I know. I love doing this show. It's always the highlight of my week. Anyway, I have a question regarding the Fantasyland Early Morning Magic ticketed event. Disney makes these things so hard to say. Fantasyland Early Morning Magic ticketed event that has been running at the Magic Kingdom since last year. I think this is supposed
to limit the syllables for any Disney name as we move forward.
Ridiculous.
I decree it.
Anyway, so I know, killing me. I think this is supposed to run until March or April, but the My Disney Experience app shows a special ticketed event on Sunday, July 10th, 2017, from 7:45 to 9 a.m. Do you know if the early morning magic event will be extended or returned for the summer? We did this last year and it was great. We rode Mine Train 12 times. Peter Pan was down during the event, but because of that, they allowed us to use the issued wristbands for Mine Train, Pan, and Pooh all day. We ended up riding Mine Train twice more. The breakfast buffet at Pinocchio's Village House was great too. Would undoubtedly pay the extra fee to do this again if available. Thanks again. Love the show. Joe. So Ricky, you know, I don't know if everybody knows this, but you know, Disney and Ricky like put their heads together and they plan out the schedule. So if the schedule's a little bit late,
sure,
it's because Ricky
Absolutely.
Was busy, you know.
It's because I'm on it. Did he say what date it was?
July 10th. I think he said. I just deleted it.
Oh, boo. Okay. Well, I have good news. According to Disney's website, which I pulled up while you were reading the email, it does look like the Disney Early Morning Magic Fantasyland experience is going to be taking place not only in, you know, until July, but it will also be taking place right now until the end of August. So that's what we have as of right now. So there are dates scheduled from now until the end of August. It does look like, though, in March, they may not have very many dates. Actually, I think the only date they had here in March is over. But there's also one date in April, but then it seems to ramp back up a little bit in May, and then June, and then July. It really ramps up in August. So it's definitely still happening. It just may not be happening every day of your trip or every week of your trip. So you definitely have to look at the schedule from Disney, which you can just go to Disney Early Morning Magic. You can search that on their website and they'll have the full schedule listed for you in their little calendar.
You know, I don't think I've even ridden Seven Dwarfs Mine Train 12 times in my life. You know? No. I'm trying to think about that. I was at the press event too. I got to ride it like 3 or 4 times during the press event. Yeah, I don't know if I've done it 12 times. That's pretty good usage of your time there, I guess. And mm-hmm. plus breakfast. So well done. Well done, listener. All right, let's get to the last question of the day. It's from Amy. I'm a new listener, and as a first-time planner, I really appreciate all of your tips. I've only been to Walt Disney World once before, so planning seems like an adventure before the big adventure to the world. I'm planning a 2-week anniversary trip for my husband and I, August 19th through September 2nd. We are praying that the low crowds will be worth the heat. We are annual pass holders and locals at Disneyland, so we're upgrading our passes to the premier level because we are staying for so long and the added discounts. Also, to financially allow for the long trip, we're spending the first week off property and the second week at the Polynesian Resort, a dream come true for both of us, which is where my two planning questions come from. Number one, if I understand correctly, as annual pass holders, we are only allowed to reserve FastPass Plus tickets for 7 days, and we can do that 30 days in advance. As hotel guests, we're able to reserve FastPass Plus tickets 60 days in advance. Does that mean that we will only be able to pre-book FastPass Plus tickets for the second week? Do you know of any way we could book our FastPasses for the entire trip at either 60 or the 30-day mark? Ricky, what say you to this conundrum where, remember, the first week they're staying off-site, second week they're on-site, trying to make FastPass Plus. What's their options? Annual pass holders.
Yeah, so they can only make it for the days that they're on-site, 60 days in advance. And also, they're going to run into a tiny bit of a snag as well when they're trying to book, if they book all 7 days of FastPasses. Isn't there, I can't remember 100%, but can't you only book 7 days of fast passes either way? Like when you, with an annual pass, I'm pretty sure you can only book 7. So in a row or, you know, in a time period. So, they're kind of going to be stuck too, if that's the case. So they may want to, I don't know, you know, they may want to be on it at the 30 day mark, unless there's something they really, 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 really want to see, you know, in that second half, like Frozen. You know, they'll definitely, if, you know, they'll definitely be able to book a Frozen Fast Pass, and, you know, in the, through the 60-day window that they wouldn't be able to do in the 30-day window. So I might book like those really hard to get ones during the 60-day window, and then book everything else in the 30-day window. And then once you use your Fast Passes for the first few days, you know, the first day of the trip, then you can start making Fast Passes for the next open day of your trip, basically. I hope that didn't sound confusing, but
it gets really
confusing when you get an annual pass and you only have 7 days to make fast passes for. So,
but I thought for some reason, like when she's on site staying at the Polynesian for 10 nights, that you can make them up to the amount of nights you're staying. I thought that was true with an annual pass because I thought I've made them in excess of 7 days on a longer stay. Maybe
not. If you're on site.
Yeah, if you're on site, you can match how many nights you're there as long as you have an annual pass.
Yeah, right. So the issue will be that she can make all of her, she can make 10 days worth of reservations with her annual pass at her 60-day mark from when she is on site.
Yes, check in. Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do. I would make those passes then. And then during the time when she's off site, she will not be able to make those days. She will not be able to make any FastPass Plus arrangements for those days until she is there. And that's the way I'd play it. You know, what she could do is like say, well, I'm going to be off site for the first 7 days. So I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, make those first. But then she would be impacting her ability to make them for the whole 10 days when she's on site.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. So what's going to happen, right, in essence, is she's making her fast passes for the second part of the trip first. Because
I would, that's what I would do, because yeah, she would have access to that 60 days in advance.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to worry about it. Then while you were there, I know you could do it a different way and then possibly make it a little bit in advance, but I would not worry about doing that. You're going to confuse yourself. And then
I was going to, yeah,
the chances for things going wrong are great and impacting your ability to, you know, do those 60 days in advance ones. So,
unless she wants to leave like a day off of the, you know, the 10 day window and
but
then
that wouldn't
for the 30. Yeah.
No,
no, you're right. That's true. Okay, then yeah.
Way too much
yeah,
math.
Yeah, that's true.
Way too much math today. Way too much.
It yes, is. What
there
is up with all
the math going on here? But what I'm telling you is, I think if we're all in agreement, I would make them 60 days in advance for the 10 days you're staying on property, and then the ones that you're going to be making when you're off property, you're just going to have to make them one day at a time in the morning there.
Yep. So supplemental. Think of those as supplemental, and the 60 day ones as primary is what I would do.
Plus you're going to be there for like over 2 weeks. So you're going to have enough time to do everything you want. Don't worry about it.
That's right. All right. She has the second part. Here we go. We have a standard room at the Polynesian. Because it's our anniversary and such a low crowd time, we're hoping to see if they have any upgrades available for us. Our plan is on check-in day to go there in person and ask about it. Do you have any tips on getting a room upgrade if it is available? Thanks for all you do. And I'm sorry if these questions are something you've covered. I'm still trying to go through your prolific archive. Well, first of all, Amy, have an amazing trip when you go down for that long time. I love it. Pam, what do you upgrades? What do you say to that?
So honestly, I tell people who ask about upgrades, the best way to get them is to pay for them. And that's really the truth with Disney. Other than that, there are little bits of magic, but you can't count on any one strategy or anything else to work. There's no harm in asking if there's an upgrade available. I just don't want to see anyone get disappointed. There's a lot of people that do ask for upgrades, and it just isn't always possible. Disney loves to spread, you know, magic when it's available, but it's a real challenge because their hotels really run at a very high occupancy rate. So if there's a room type that you'd really rather stay at than the one you're at, but you're at the Polynesian, hello, they're all awesome there. See if it's available now and try to book it with a discount. That's my best advice.
Good tip. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's questions. Keep your questions coming to mike@brguestpodcast.com. We'll get on those right away. But today, it's a Wednesday, so we're sponsored by virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition, and Ricky, it's your time to shine. What are we reading about on Theme Park News, Disney Edition this week?
What are we reading about? Okay. All right. I was not prepared. Usually I am. So we are reading about the news that Cirque du Soleil La Nuba will be ending its almost 20-year run on December 31st. So the show that dazzled audiences with acrobatics and choreography and circus acts and everything like that will be coming to a close. And it is expected, thanks to kind of some hints that Disney Parks Blog put out in their article, that another Cirque du Soleil show will replace La Nuba. However, that A, has not been confirmed, and B, even if it is what's on the table, we don't know what kind of show it's going to be. So that is the news. I've never seen Cirque du Soleil, and I'm guessing I'm never going to. So,
I've only seen they did a little bit of a kind of a like they kind of spiced up the show this past year, and we had a media event last year, and I got to see like the first 10 minutes of it, and it was pretty neat. I don't know if I'd have paid all that money to go see it just because there's so much to do down there that you've already paid for. I'm kind of that kind of person, but you know what I will miss, and I thought of this when I heard this news that. I love that song they play like on the resort TV under La Nuba, like whenever they talk about La Nuba, that da 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 da. I love that song. And so
you know what? Like I don't know
Disney.
Why
yeah, it is.
But the every time they would talk about La Nuba, there's always one like whenever they're doing a video, you know, one of the videos that they show like Stacey or something like
that. Like a promo.
They always have
You're going to talk about the mime guy, right?
the lime guy.
I know, that's exactly it.
The only show that picture of the mime guy. That's the only thing I ever think about when I think about La Nuba. It's always that mime guy. So true.
I knew you were going to say that because that's exact. I hear that song and I see the mime guy like looking right at me. Like,
It is. Funny, that's the only thing we think about.
It's so true, though.
That and them jumping on trampolines up on that's that right. wall, jumping down again. That's yeah. all I think about when I think of.
Yeah, he's kind of like a ripped mime guy with like suspenders, like going up and down
no,
that trampoline.
Not that guy. Okay, I was thinking about the clown that like is not looking at the camera and then turns his face and looks at the camera. I don't know why We've that guy always kind of creeps me out in a way.
Maybe the show does need to go away. It's giving us nightmares. Anyway, long way around, but Theme Park News Disney Edition, you can get all the latest news every morning, every night. It's better than reading the cereal box. Like my buddy Mike, who was reading it, told me on Twitter, I was like, you need to go get Theme Park News Disney Edition. So get it today over at virtualmickey.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And drop by the amazing Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And don't forget, you need to do a little shopping here in the midweek. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Please go there before you make your purchases. Costs exactly the same. And it does definitely help support the show. So thank you to everybody who has done that over the past few weeks. We really, really appreciate that. All right. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great midweek. We'll be back again on Friday answering, yes, more of your listener questions. So stay tuned for that. But until then, get back to work and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.